For tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday evening, August the 31st, 1990. Labor Day weekend, teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Glenn Miller is the speaker in this service.
This evening, I have decided that I would teach, talk this evening. There's been several made remarks to me about they felt that they were had curses in their life, in their family line. So my subject tonight will be basically inherited curses. And that's what we're going to, what our main topic will be as we study the Word of the Lord tonight. But in Deuteronomy chapter 31, I'm going to use possibly a little bit of scriptures and thoughts that came from both of our services today already, from Brother David and Brother Gene. But in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 12, it says, "Gather the people together, men, women, and children, and the stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear and that they may learn." May learn what? The fear of the Lord your God. And observe to do all the words of this law. So, it says that we are to learn, we are to gather together, men and women and children, and the stranger, and that they may learn the fear of the Lord, and to observe all the words of the law, of this law. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 12, and verse 32 says, "What thing soever I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it." And that scripture has never changed. It still is the same today as the day Moses gave it under God's authority and command. It says, "Whatsoever I command you, observe to do it." And there are two or three scriptures that say that. We're not going to read them. God says, "Keep my commandments, do it." He doesn't ask you or me if I would like to do it, if I would consider doing it. He says, do it. And our problem is that we're such a rebellious people that we try to find ways that we don't have to obey the word of the Lord. Might say some more about that pretty soon. Deuteronomy 13, chapter 4 says, "You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice." Deuteronomy chapter 30. What's this got to do with inherited familiar family curses? Obey the word of the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. Says, "I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have for you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. That thou mayest love the Lord thy God, that thou mayest obey his voice, that thou mayest cleave unto him. For he is thy life and the length of thy days." It says we are to obey the word of the Lord. Now, tradition tells us, I'm going to mention several things about tradition tonight, because we are bound by traditions of our elders, traditions of our denomination, and it's a curse to us. Tradition tells us that this is Moses' law, and I don't have to pay any attention to that. That is not so. That is a lie from the pit or from Satan. This is God's word. God said, "Moses, you go tell the people, I said so and so." And why did Moses have to do that? Because the people said, "We don't want to hear from God anymore. Moses, you go hear from God and then you come tell us. We don't want to hear from God." "Lord, I want to hear from you." "I don't want to be that way. I want to hear from God." But this is not Moses' law or Moses' word. It's God's word spoken through Moses given to Moses to give to the people and down to us. Revelations chapter 22. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Revelations chapter 22, verse 20. Or 21, which is it? 21. But I want to read verse 18. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. Now, we're not going to read those plagues. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. This is the book. This is the book. It's not two books. It's not an Old Testament and a New Testament. It is the book. It has no such division as that, and if you want to divide it that way, you will have to divide it starting somewhere in the first and second chapters of Acts. Because up until that time, everything was Old Testament. Jesus lived, taught, walked, and preached the Old Testament. The New Testament never came into existence until after the resurrection, and then it didn't exist until God gave it through the apostles and the prophets who followed after Luke and Matthew and Mark and John and Peter and James and Timothy and John the Beloved. Then we got what we call the New Testament. But the New Testament never existed until after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the division of the New Testament, as far as it's divided in the book, is actually divided wrong. It should not be divided until we come to the book of Acts. So there's saying, as books, it is the book. And it is the word. And we are bound by the word. I'm of the belief that if we're going to obtain unto sonship, and I believe that we have the possibility of obtaining unto that, I do not believe that everybody will obtain unto that, because I believe that there are the elect, and there are the very elect, and there are many different names. I do not believe that everybody is part of the church or the body of Christ, because at the wedding supper of the Lamb, there were the bridesmaids, there were those who were ushered in, the bridegroom, there was the bridegroom, there was the one who called and said he was coming. There were many facets to the marriage supper of the Lamb, and yet they were all there. But everybody wasn't the bride, and there were two divisions of the bridesmaids. So tradition has taught us error that everybody is part of one group of people. We achieve unto that to which we determine or desire with the Lord's help that we will achieve unto. And if you don't desire to be part of the kingdom of God, to rule and reign in the kingdom. Now, there's a difference between a subject in the kingdom. I'm getting way off what I've... Anyway... There's a difference between being a subject in the kingdom of God and being one who rules and reigns with the Lord Jesus in the kingdom. Now, so if there's those who's going to rule and reign in the kingdom, there has to be somebody to rule over. And in the kingdom of God, there will only be those who are there by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus. So they're all saved. But you will obtain to a place of rulership in the kingdom as you follow after and determine to make that your goal and live and do that which will bring you to that place in the Lord Jesus. So we've got to rightly divide the word of truth. And we've got to separate the traditions that we've been taught by our denominations and our forefathers, which have taught us error in many areas of the Scripture. Many areas of the Scripture. We are taught by tradition and not by the word. And the word says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And that goes for every one of us. It is our responsibility, your responsibility, to study to rightly divide the word. Okay. We're destroyed by lack of knowledge. We're destroyed because we don't study for ourselves. Study. Don't take what I stand here and tell you tonight. You find out for yourself. Not because I said so. See if the word backs it up. If the word doesn't back it up, you don't pay attention to it. It is written. That's all that matters. It is written. That's what Jesus used. That's the only authority that I have or you have. It is written. And when we variate from that, we're in error. And we're teaching error. things that we talk, Irma and I talk about most of the time when we minister, are things that the Lord has taught us, that tradition taught us was couldn't be so. Or at least tradition or our denominational background never taught it at all. Especially I never believed. In fact, God had to actually deliberately show me, because I did not believe that any Christian could have a demon because they were under the blood. And no demon could cross the bloodline. So I had to, that was my traditional background, and I had to have a demonstration, and God had to give me a demonstration of a person that I knew was saved and had the Holy Ghost. God had to give me a visual demonstration to change my Pentecostal theology. And he did, and he'll do it for you if you are sincere. And what he did was, we were at the World Convention in Chicago for Gospel Businessmen in 1965, I think it was. And me and two other men were recording, run tape recorders. And at the end of the service, they said to lay hands on everybody and pray for each other. And we three laid hands on each other, and when we did, demons started talking out of this one man. My theology changed like that. I knew my tradition was wrong because I knew the man. And I knew from that point on, I had no more problem with Christians having demons. Of course, Irma had behind us just at that point and heard this demon talk out of this man. And it literally scared her to death. She's still alive, but... and she turned and left, and I didn't realize anything had happened. I didn't realize, but she turned and almost ran for the elevator, went up to the 15th, 17th, I forget, in the Hilton Hotel, ran in the room, took two tranquilizers, jumped in bed and covered up her head. She's a grandmother already. She wasn't delivered from tranquilizers yet, but she did get delivered before very long after that. The Lord delivered her, set her free from it. Never had to take any aspirin. We threw them all out, got them out of the house, and never brought them back. But the devil then said to her, in early Pentecost, we were always told, beware of false doctrine and wildfire. And wildfire. In the 20s and 30s, that was a common phrase. And so the devil said to her, now you've gotten false doctrine. You've gotten into false doctrine. You'd better jump out the window. She heard it. Literally, she heard the devil say that to her. And she had enough sense that she turned the spirit of suicide on the spot. She said, no, I'm too smart for that. And suicide never bothered her again. But it changed our theology. Changed mine immediately. I had no more problem with Christians having demons after that, including myself. Down through our travels, the Lord has led us to understandings of certain areas, and he's brought it by a demonstration, not by something that we heard from the pulpit or somebody told us about. It came by visual demonstration. The occult, we came to an understanding. Irma came to quite an understanding of the occult because of things that happened. We came to an understanding of don't bring any abominable thing into your house by a visual demonstration of it. We came to an understanding of this by a visual demonstration. The first time we ever ran across it, ever even really heard of it, we came by a visual demonstration. Now, each one of these subjects is a whole evening service or afternoon service or morning service. Each subject I've mentioned is a whole time of a service to teach on it. He brought us to the understanding that Lamont is of Satan or childbirth by visual demonstration of what happened to the children that were born by Lamaze, by the Lamaze method. And every saved girl that we know of that has had childbirth by the Lamaze method, there has been some flaw in the child. And we've traced it back and found that it was because it came by this demonic method of childbirth. Finally, it's a subject for Irma to talk about because she has researched it and studied it and studied the life of the man that they use his pattern for it. The very first thing that in his autobiography is he teaches hypnotism. And then he goes in to the Eastern religions to use in it. And if you have anybody that you know of that the doctor wants to give that method, do everything you can to keep them from doing it. Stop it if you possibly can. Because, as I said, every child we know of that's been born that way has had some physical defect in his physical body. And we thank the Lord that the Lord has healed and restored. One child had an eyelid that drooped. Another child had a hole in its heart. Another child had rupture. Another child was born almost dead with a cord wrapped around his neck. And just happened to be a spirit-filled doctor in the hallway. And the mother ran out and called to this doctor. And he ran and took the baby and literally raised it from the dead. They pronounced it dead. And the mother said, "No, I don't accept that." I mean, the grandmother said, "No, I don't accept that." And she ran out in the hall and saw this spirit-filled doctor, called him, and he came in and took the baby and held it, and prayed over it, and the Lord restored it. These areas are not areas that we have heard about or that somebody's told us about. We stand here to declare that we have witnessed firsthand what we're talking about. Okay. Let's get to the subject of the evening, inherited curses. How did that happen? Well, one Thursday night, we were studying here, having a Bible study here, and I guess maybe there was 12, might have been 15 of us here around the table, having a Bible study. And our subject was, I was studying on the aspects, the applications of the blood of Jesus. There are five biblical applications of the blood of Jesus. There is one application of the blood of Jesus that is Pentecostal tradition. The Lord has honored it, but there is no scriptures for it. And if you corner a demon, he doesn't have to pay any attention to you because it's not scriptural. We were studying the five scriptural applications of the blood of Jesus in relationship to the one traditional one. The traditional one is, I plead the blood of Jesus. There's no scripture for it. And the demons, if the demons may or may not, but they may laugh at you if you use that phrase when you're praying with somebody for deliverance. My mother came into Pentecost, the Assemblies of God, in 1922. And that's one of her favorite sayings, I plead the blood of Jesus. I told her what I'm going to tell you here in a minute, but it went over her head like a balloon floating filled with helium. And anyway, she's 89 years old, but the Lord has honored that in our ignorance. But when we come to confronting Satan in the realm of deliverance, it had better be scriptural or you'll not get very far. It must be, it is written. So, I'll give you real quick what the five scriptural, and then you'll have to hunt the scriptures. There are many scriptures that apply to these different areas. But the five scriptural the blood of Jesus are, you can apply the blood of Jesus. You can appropriate the blood of Jesus. You can cover with the blood of Jesus. And you can wash with the blood of Jesus. And what's the fifth one? Sprinkle. You can sprinkle the blood of Jesus. And in this Bible study this night, we had come down to Leviticus chapter 3, verse 13, which I was using as one of the applications of the blood of Jesus. And across the page on verse 6 of this chapter 4, there's another scripture, and I can turn the page and find several more that say the same thing, only maybe in a different way. But the 13th verse of the third chapter of Leviticus was my thought for that night in my study in this particular area of the blood of Jesus. And it says here, and he shall lay his hand upon the head of it and kill it before the tabernacle of the congregation, and the sons of Aaron shall sprinkle the blood thereupon upon the altar round about. And I use that as one of my applications for the sprinkling of the blood. but without thinking, without premeditated thought of any kind, I finished reading the chapter and went on to my next verse that I had for our Bible study that night. The last verse of that chapter reads, "It shall be a perpetual statute for your generations throughout all your dwellings that you eat neither fat nor blood." Didn't mean a thing to me that night. I didn't even realize that I had finished reading the chapter. Went right on. There was a lady present that night that the Lord woke her up in the night, impressed her to get up and find all the scriptures that she could find in the Bible relating especially to the eating of blood. And there are 20-some scriptures, 26 I think I have recorded here, that I know of that relate to eating blood. And if you want to be particular, Pentecostal, they are both in what you call the Old and New Testament. Not just, some people say, that's the Old Testament, you've got to show it to me in the New Testament. Well, you'll find it, almost as many scriptures in the writings of the apostles as you will find back here in the writings of Moses and in other prophets as well. Anyway, then after she had looked up these scriptures and was wondering why the Lord had impressed her to do this, the Lord reminded her that her great-grandmother had died with, her mother had died with sugar diabetes, her grandmother had died with sugar diabetes, and her mother. She had two sisters who had it in the worst way. One of them had lost, I think, parts of both of their feet, her feet. And she had went to the doctor the first time in several years, 2 days before, and the doctor had said she was borderline sugar diabetic. And the Lord said, "Purpose, that is it is an inherited curse in your family because your family has eat blood. And my word says, you shall not eat blood. It is a perpetual statute. You shall not eat blood." And there are scriptures that say that the blood's to be poured out, that the blood, the life is in the blood. You're not to eat blood. And the Lord says to her that it was a curse in the family line because of it. Okay, she came back Sunday morning, and I think it was about 25 people here for our Sunday morning service. We don't have a big crowd. We just have the campground and somebody else, that visitors or so forth. On Sunday, we don't profess to be a big church of any kind. We just have our service here at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. She came to the Sunday morning service, and before I spoke or taught whatever that morning, I said, "Anybody have a prayer request?" She lifted up her hand and related the story I've just told you, and said, "The Lord told me that if I would have you pray for me and break the curse, the Lord would heal me." That was the first time I ever heard the word inherited curse or break the curse. That was the first time I'd ever heard of such a thing right here in this room. And from that, our study tonight. So, there was about 9 people raised their hands and said, "We want to be prayed for too." Now, it's very common in the Polish, the German, the Scandinavian, and Italian, and maybe others, blood sausage, blood pudding, blood soup, and raw meat. Very common for a lot of people. We used to work with a woman who ate a pound of raw hamburger every day. Now, let me tell you another thing we have found about raw meat or rare meat. People who do that have a driving spirit of lust. People who eat raw meat, rare meat, majority of those people will have a driving lust spirit. So, but the Lord says we shouldn't eat the blood, nor the fat. Okay. Let's look at Exodus chapter 20. Because when all this happened now I had no scriptures for anything. So now I had to find scriptural basis for what had happened. So I began to study, and this here is some of what I found. Exodus chapter 20, it says, and I like this because it verifies this, it says, "And God spoke." Who spoke? God. What does he say? He says, and God spoke all these words, saying, who did he say it to? He said it to Moses. He says, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage, or the land of sin. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And America's got so many of them that we're almost like India. And they're all gods of pleasure. Most of them are. Gods. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is heaven above, that is in the earth beneath, that is in the water under the sea. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. Doing what? Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and the fourth generation of them that do not obey my word. King James says, hate me. Some other translations say, do not obey my word, which is a more literal, correct translation of that verse. But I like the sixth verse. Showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. So the mercy of the Lord, shown unto him, and ask forgiveness. Okay. Chapter 30, verse 5. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there with Moses, and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him, Moses, and proclaimed the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity. What is iniquity? When you know to do right and deliberately do wrong. That's iniquity. And God says he'll forgive us our iniquity. When we know it's wrong and we do it anyway, God says he'll still forgive us. Grace and mercy. And transgression and sin. But that will by no means clear the guilty. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generation. Oh, God wouldn't do that. Yes, he will. And he says he will, and he does. Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy 5, verse 9. Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them to serve them, heathen gods, gods of other nations. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and the fourth generation of them that do not obey my word, but showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and do what? Keep my commandments. Verse 29. Says, oh, that there was such a heart in them, that they would fear me. That's what we heard about earlier today. And keep all my commandments, always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. Go, say unto them, get to your tents again, but as for thee, stand thou here by me, and I will speak unto thee. I want to stand by the Lord, and I want him to speak unto me. Amen. I want to hear the voice of the Lord. Amen, amen. And verse 32 says, you shall observe to do therefore as the Lord your God hath commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. You shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you, that you may live, and that it may be well with you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which you shall possess. I want to possess the land that the Lord has given unto me, this land, and I want my days prolonged. I've been promised 70 years, but the Lord gave Moses 120, and I can find no place where that's ever been negated. It still stands, 120. 70 is my promise, but 120 is still in the book. Amen. So I'm going to turn that 70 over in another 6 months, and then I'll be going for Moses 120. I intend to see the kingdom in this mortal body. Amen, amen. Praise you, Jesus. Chapter 6, across the page, verse 24 says, and the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God. Why? For our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as he hath commanded us. Now, this evening our subject is relation to four generation curses. But just for a moment, I want to turn over to Deuteronomy 23, and I want to show you, which is not our subject tonight, but I want to show it to you in passing. Deuteronomy 23, verse 2 and verse 3. A bastard or illegitimate child shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Even to his tenth generation shall he not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Amorite or Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Even to their tenth generation shall he not enter into the congregation of the Lord forever. In the area of sexual sins, incest, illegitimacy, there's a 10-generation curse. So today, America is rampant with incest. And it's in the body of Christ almost as bad as it is in the world. How do we know? How do I know? Because we pray for the problem. And it's not only, and it's from the top down through the peak to the bottom. We prayed for the whole gamut in that area. God says it's not to be so. But it is, and it's got to be cleaned up and gotten out of the household of faith. We've got to get those spots and wrinkles out that Brother Keller was talking about a while ago. And part of those spots and wrinkles come out. Some of them come out by the reading of the Word. Some of them come out in praise and worship. Some of them come out as we seek the Lord. And then some of them have to be cast out. Casting out demons is not the only way of deliverance. But it is one way. If you're going to achieve to that ultimate in the Lord Jesus, there are areas of your life that somebody will have to help you with, and that spirit will have to be cast out of you. There's nobody that's free of some area of their life unless they've already been set free from it. And then I still wonder that you don't need deliverance in some area of your life. And that's for everybody. Nobody's excluded. How can you be so dogmatic? I've been around, coming down this trail for 25 years, and I've seen too many and passed this way too long. Who is the Amorite and the Moabite? Well, you can go back. We're not going to do it, but you go back to Genesis chapter 19, verses 36 and 38. That's where it's at. And it's Lot's grandchildren by incest. Incest. Lot's grandchildren by incest. And that brings up another thought in passing that the Lord showed me. The children of Israel wanted a king. And they couldn't wait. So God said, well, you can't wait, so I'll give you a king. But he's not my man. But I'll give you one. So God gave him Saul. You say, well, why did God not give him David to start with? Well, David wasn't that old yet. See, Saul's about 40 or maybe 45 years older than David. But why couldn't some? And the scripture says that the kingdom, the kingly line, shall be through the tribe of Judah. So why didn't God give somebody from the tribe of Judah instead of the tribe of Benjamin to start with? Why did he give Saul from Benjamin? Because he could not give anybody from the tribe of Judah, because it carried a 10-generation curse, and the curse didn't run out until David. Why was there a 10-generation curse? Incest by Judah with his daughter-in-law, who brought the twins from which came the lineage of Jesus. And David was the first 10-generation person passed the curse. David's father couldn't be king because he was still in the lineage that required out to the end. But today, it doesn't have to run to the end. Why? We'll get to that. But incest, and this subject here is a complete study for a whole service in itself. Then I had to find the answers to study why these curses. And in my study, I run across these different things. And then God gave us a demonstration with incest. And he gave us a demonstration in other areas to verify what we had found in the scriptures. So that it wasn't just something I was talking about without being able to back it up by not only with the word, but by a demonstration that we had taken place, that we were demonstrated the word. And then since then, why there's been so many don't have to go back to the first one anymore. We can go to the one that happened just recently, you know. But anyway, When I received salvation and got saved, my tradition taught me that all these areas of my life was already taken care of. When I got saved, why, everything was under the blood. I never heard about the curses, but I was of the opinion that they couldn't exist because I was under the blood. But so the Lord had to give us demonstrations, and which he did. And then I had to find scripture to back up what I was confronted with. And I found the third and the fourth generation curse, which verified the lineage of the lady who had the sugar diabetes, and that the Lord had showed her. Then we run across incest in the 10th generation. I already had found the scriptures for that. But then I have to find the scriptures that gives me the right to confront these conditions and take the authority over Satan to break the power of it. So in my study, I found John 3:16. It says what? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe on him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And I thought, but he gave his Son for the world. Is the world saved? No. But yet he gave his Son for the world. But the world is not saved. What does it say? That whosoever believeth, you must believe. You must apply. You must appropriate the blood of the Lord Jesus for remission of your sins. And if you don't, it means nothing to you. So then I found Galatians 3:13. What does Galatians 3:13 say? It says that Jesus became a curse so that I don't have to bear the curse. There was my answer to the curse. It is written, Satan, Jesus became my curse, so I don't have to bear the curse. But the breaking of the curse in my life or your life is not automatic just because you get saved. You have to take the word and tell Satan that it is written, and you have to apply and appropriate it to your life and to the areas of your life so that it will be broken, just as you have to accept and apply the blood of Jesus for sin. Now, I will tell you that God is sovereign, and that when some people get saved, they get delivered from alcohol, they get delivered from swearing, they get delivered from tobacco, they get delivered from the curse of lust, and some don't. God is sovereign. So maybe you got delivered when you got saved, or somewhere down the line as you praised or worshiped. You got delivered from some of these areas because God's sovereign. He doesn't do anything. Doesn't do things the way I do it or you do it. It's his way. It's like, what was it? Gene, were you telling us that it's God and God? What was that? Yeah. Mm-hmm. God's way, his way, and his way. Yeah. No, that was David. You did that this morning. Okay. God's way, his way. No, that was David. You did that this morning. Okay. Okay. But see, God is sovereign. It's his way. And if he delivered you when you got saved or before you got the Holy Spirit, back in the early days of Pentecost, I can look back now and I can see that there was great deliverance took place because they tarried for the Holy Ghost. And what did happen when they tarried? They got delivered. I've seen them beat the floor. I've seen them roll on the floor. I've seen them cry. What were they doing? I can see now they were getting delivered. They said holy rollers. Well, what was happening was they were getting delivered. When a place come in their life where God had them cleaned up, why, they received the Holy Ghost. Today we got, I won't say that. We've got too easy to get the Holy Ghost. We need a little more of the seeking of the Lord Jesus and cleansing of our life so that the Holy Ghost is something that will bring, that will be something that will change our lives. This charismatic Holy Ghost is a detriment to a lot of people. We need some more old-fashioned Holy Ghost tarian to receive the Holy Spirit. And then there'll be holiness in the lives of the people. We need holiness
in the church today. And God's going to have a people that are that way. And there are a people who desire to be that way. There are a people. I say everything has three applications. I say all Scripture, you can apply it at least three ways. Sometimes many more. But I say at least three. And there are those who desire, says, the people out of a people, out of a people, out of a people. And it says that Scripture, I can't exactly quote it, but it's over in Matthew. And it says the called and the the called, the chosen, and the elect. There's three categories of people. Will be those who are holy before the Lord. You have your chosen and called. Then you have the opportunity to be the elect. And I want to enter into that elect group. You can call it the Eagle Company, the Sons of God, whatever you want, but it is still that group of overcomers. And the Lord says that there will only be a remnant who will achieve unto that place. Are you desiring to achieve unto that place in God? Is that the calling and the desire of your heart, to achieve unto that place in God, to be part of that remnant, the overcomers, those who will rule and reign in the kingdom with the Lord? You'll only get there as you desire. And make that the calling of your heart and of your life. Make that first and foremost. If something else is first, then you'll not be part of the very elect. You have to make Jesus first. And then you have an opportunity to achieve to that place in the kingdom. Well, inherited curses. 16 is our beginning, and Galatians 3:13 is the answer to breaking inherited curses, or curse of any kind, whatever. So now, that's what we're going to do. We're going to practice what we've talked about. We're going to practice what we've talked about. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. In my understanding, there are three times cult and witchcraft. There are three basic types of curses in this area. There's a curse that runs the family line. Then there's a familiar spirit and the curse of infirmity that comes down to a family line. And we're going to deal basically in this area this evening as we work down through a little list I've written here. And when we get down through here, if I left something out that somebody feels we need to call out, why, you just raise your hand and tell me loud enough to hear you, and we'll do it for everybody. Just as this lady raised her hand, and then we did it for everybody in the congregation that morning, we broke this curse of eating of blood and blood sausage and whatever that related to eating of blood. When God says it's a perpetual curse, that you never do that. And same with fat. Eating of fat. And we'll take that up back over here in a little bit. Well, I'm going to pray. And as we go down the line here, if the Lord shows you any of these areas of your life, and you ask the Lord to forgive you, if you participated in any of these things, you ask the Lord to forgive you. And then, we can't do anything about our ancestors. As the tree fell, so be it. But the curse is still coming down. And we can take authority over that curse and break that dominion over your family, over you and your family line. Because Jesus became a curse so that we do not have to bear the curse. And it is written, Satan, and that's our authority in Jesus' name. Okay. Father, I come as a priest this evening and stand in behalf of this congregation and all who ever hear this tape. And I take authority over the demonic spirits that will hear my voice. And I take authority, not in my name, but in the name that is above every name, to which every bow and every tongue shall confess, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For it is written, Satan, it is written, demon, that in the name of Jesus, he gives me authority over you. And I take that place of authority tonight, and I bind and break your dominion over these people and over my life in Jesus' name. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Now, Father, I ask for the angels of the Lord to be here with us to minister tonight. I bind these spirits to the day of judgment. Ask for the angels of the Lord to collect them and take them to wherever you want them until you judge them at the day of judgment. Father, I thank you for it, and I praise you for it in Jesus' name. Now, I believe it's time that we begin to bind up these spirits and to do away with them. Jesus said that he's gone and sit down at the right hand of the Father until his enemies be put under his feet. And the only person who can put those enemies under his feet is you and me. And he says that we're his battle axe to do war for him. And so we need to do warfare, to pull down the principalities and powers, bind the demon spirits, bind them in the name of Jesus, and ask the angels of the Lord to come and keep them bound till Jesus shall judge them at the day of judgment. Otherwise, all we do is turn them loose to go somewhere else and do some more damage. And I don't think we have to do that. Now, I can't back all that up with Scripture, but I believe it in my heart, and I do it. And if you want to do that, I ask and invite you to do likewise, so we can start diminishing the demonic horde that is rampant in the world today. Praise the Lord. Father, I come and take now. I want to make another statement. I do not believe that eating of blood is the only cause of sugar diabetes. I do not believe that. I believe that it is one of the causes. And in other areas of diseases, if the Lord shows you the reason and the cause for it in your life, then you need to repent of that. It does not necessarily mean that because somebody else has that same problem, that it is the same reason for it. I believe that there is more than one reason for different diseases or curses that have come down the family line in the area in these areas. Right now, we're going to pray about the eating of blood. Father, I bring the sin of eating of blood that you said is a perpetual statute that we eat no blood. And I thank you, Father, that you've given us the way out through Galatians 3:13. It is written that Jesus became that curse for us. So in the authority of that, I break the curse over anyone present here who has eaten blood or they're in their family line. I go back for 10 generations, Father, and I put the blood of Jesus to cleanse and relieve them of that they've inherited because their ancestors or they have eaten blood. I break that curse over them and ask for the blood of Jesus to cleanse and to wash them, and I put the blood to separate between them and that curse in Jesus' name. I thank you for it, Father, and I praise you for it in Jesus' name. Now, spirit of sugar diabetes, hyperglycemia, whether it's from that cause or not, I take authority over you. I bind you and break your dominion over every person present here tonight. Familiar spirit, I bind you that's come down the family line. I bind you to the day of judgment. I break your dominion over these people, and I loose them from you in Jesus' name. Hyperglycemia, I break your power over these people, and I loose them from it in Jesus' name. Come out of them. Set them free. I break the dominion of it over them in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. If you feel anything, take a deep breath. Yawn, cough. If you feel like whatever it feels like, let it go. Let it take place. Don't hold it back. I come against the spirit of low blood pressure. I bind that spirit inherited in the family line, low blood pressure. I come against the inherited spirit of high blood pressure. I come against the causes of it in Jesus' name. Whatever the causes are, I break the curse of the cause of it in Jesus' name. I put the blood of Jesus to separate between the curse and the familiar spirit. I bind it in Jesus' name. And I command that spirit to loose you and set you free in the name of Jesus. I break that power in Jesus' name. Cholesterol. I come against the cholesterol in your body. That's not normal. I break the curse of it over you in the name of Jesus. I put the blood of Jesus to cleanse and to wash you of that. And I break the curse of the sin that was committed that allowed that to come in your family line. And I loose you from it in the name of the Lord Jesus. I break that power and I loose you from it in Jesus' name. Father, any curse that's come from disobeying your word, disobeying your laws, of eating fat or blood or other areas of the word that has taken place in the family line or in their personal life, I break the call. I put the blood to cleanse and to wash, and I break the power of it and loose them from it in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I bind the spirit to the day of judgment. And I thank you, Lord, for the angels of the Lord here to watch over us in Jesus' name. Spirit of stroke, I take authority over you. I bind you, you spirit of stroke that comes down through the family line. The familiar spirit, I bind and break your dominion over anyone present here who has a spirit of stroke. I bind your power, break your dominion And I cut you off in the name of Jesus. And I put the blood to cleanse and to wash and to separate. And I bind you and command you to come out of these people in Jesus' name. Every spirit of stroke. We had a woman come here one time that we were praying for. And her mother had died with stroke. And all of a sudden, I forget whether it was the right side or the left side, all of a sudden, she went kind of like this. And her left arm shriveled up. Her leg drew up. And the side of her face all twisted up. And the Spirit spoke out of her and said, I'm going to kill her. Spirit of infirmity. We said, where'd you come from? And it said, I came from her mother. I killed her mother, and I'm going to kill her with a stroke. Well, we took care of that. Spirit of stroke, I bind you and I break your power over every person present here today. You will not kill anybody here with a stroke. I bind and break your dominion over these people in Jesus' name. And you, spirit of stroke, come out of them in Jesus' name. Loose them and come out in the name of the Lord. I come against heart trouble. And I break the curse of heart trouble in Jesus' name. Your father or your grandfather died with heart trouble. So I guess I'm going to have heart trouble. I'm a chip off the old block. My granddad had a filthy mouth and swore, and I inherited that. I've heard those remarks. You get what you say. You get what you say, and the familiar spirit, he just comes right in and jumps in and takes a hold, and there you go. Don't ever say my granddad or my dad or something died with heart trouble, so I guess I'll have it, or they had this or they had that. No way. You're just asking for that familiar spirit to move right in and take over in your life. If you've ever done that, repent of it. Renounce it. Declare null and void. Father, I come against, in the name of Jesus, heart trouble. Heart conditions. I come against them in the name of Jesus. And I break their dominion over these people. And I bind you, spirit of heart trouble, that's come down the family line, or something that these people have done that has allowed that spirit to come. I take authority and dominion over you in the name of Jesus, and I bind you to the day of judgment, and I break your dominion over every person in the sound of my voice in Jesus' name. Thank you for it, Father. Praise you for it. Praise you for it, Jesus. Come against any liver conditions, problems with the liver, problems with the gallbladder. I bind and break that dominion, that power in Jesus' name. Father, the things that they've eaten that has caused that, ask you to forgive them of it, and that they may be cleansed of it. I ask you to forgive them for it. And I come against every spirit of liver condition. I bind and break that power over them in Jesus' name. I loose them from it in the name of the Lord. And I command that spirit to come out of them in Jesus' name. I bind it to the day of judgment. I set the captives free. Kidney trouble, bladder trouble. I come against kidney problems, kidney infection, kidney stones, bladder stones. I break that curse. If you have done something that has allowed that spirit to take a hold of you, I break the curse of it in Jesus' name. I've had problems. I've been operated on 3 times for bladder stones. I've had 2 stones taken out of me larger than a golf ball. And the cause was because I drank too much milk. As a young person, we had a dairy farm, and I got to the place where I never drank water. I drank an excess of a gallon of milk every day. I caused my system could not handle the calcium that I put into it from drinking milk. When we get into adulthood, we don't need more than a glass or two of milk a day at the most. And I caused my system harm because it couldn't handle what I gave it. And the only out it had was to throw it off in the form of calcium, which became stones in my bladder. They have a way now they can take them out, but not when they got as big as mine was. They couldn't do it. They had to go in. But I got what I caused my own self in ignorance, see. So don't do anything in excess. When you do things in excess like that, all you're doing is harming your body. And it's not God's fault. It was mine. But I was ignorant of it. But it still was mine. But the Lord's restored me. Has restored me. Amen. Amen. So I come against problems in the kidneys, in the bladder. Kidney stones, bladder stones, kidney infection. I break the curse of it in Jesus' name. And if anyone here has done something, Father, that has allowed these things to happen in their own ignorance, ask Him to show them, Father, and then for them to correct it, and ask for, Father, that their body will adjust itself and correct itself in Jesus' name. Thank you for it. A problem in the lungs, emphysema, lung problems, problems in the breathing area. I come against that in the name of Jesus. I break the curse of it over them. I loose them from it in Jesus' name. I loose them from it. Sinus problems. I come against sinus problems. Father, I curse that spirit of sinus problems in Jesus' name. I curse it to the roots. I put the blood of Jesus to wash and to cleanse in Jesus' name. I thank you for it, Father. I praise you for it in Jesus' name. Father, while I think of it, I thank you for the scars and stripes and the blood of the whipping post that brings restoration and healing to our physical bodies. I thank you and I apply and I appropriate it to every person under the sound of my voice. I apply and appropriate the blood of the whipping post and the scars and stripes of the whipping post to our physical bodies. God, I command the body to receive the healing virtue of the Lord by the scars and stripes of Jesus. Body, receive ye the healing virtue of the Lord Jesus in Jesus' name. Thank you for it, Father. I praise you for it. Amen, amen. Stomach disorders, allergies from food. I come against them in Jesus' name. I bind and break your dominion over these people. I bind the spirit that is behind it, the spirits of infirmity, the familiar spirit. I bind the spirits of allergies, the spirits of stomach disorders. I break the power of it in Jesus' name, and I bind them to the day of judgment in the name of the Lord. Come against problems in the intestines. Problems with the intestines, different problems in the intestines. I bind and break those powers in Jesus' name. I speak healing and restoration to the intestines. I come against problems in the bowels in Jesus' name, in the colon and in the bowels. I bind and break those problems, the spirits that cause them. I bind your power and break your dominion. I command you to come out of these people and set them free. I loose them in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I thank you for it, Father. I come against problems in the ears, with hearing, and with infection, and with viruses in the ears. I break that curse and speak healing and restoration to deafness. Spirit of deafness, I bind you in the ears. Command you to come out, speak restoration to the ears. I come against problems in the eyes. I break the curse of problem, inherited curses in the eyes of the family line. I break that power in Jesus' name. I speak restoration and life to the eyes in Jesus' name. I thank you for it, Father. And Father, I come against the spirit of insanity, mental problems. I come against you, foul spirit of insanity. I bind you to the day of judgment. I break your dominion, you spirit that's come down through a family line or by some other reason. I bind you and break your dominion. Spirit of insanity, spirit of mental disorders, I break your dominion over every person present. Hear to the sound of my voice. I bind you, foul spirit, to the day of judgment. Loose these people. Set them free. I break your dominion over their minds. I loose them to a right mind. I break that power over them in Jesus' name. And I loose them in the name of the Lord Jesus. I come to the spirit of insanity and mental problems to anyone who's in an institution that belongs to any person under the sound of my voice. I come against that spirit and I break the dominion of it over that person in the name of Jesus. And I loose them from it and restoration to their mind in Jesus' name. I thank you for it, Father, in the name of Jesus. I come against the spirit of cancer, tumors in the breast, tumors in the lungs. I come against the spirit of tumors. Come against the spirit of moles and in the lymph glands. I come against the spirit, you foul spirit of cancer that's rampant in the nation and in the body of Christ. I take dominion over you and I bind you and break your power in the name of Jesus. So spirit of cancer, I bind you. Spirit of tumors, I bind you. Spirit of tumors in the female organs, spirit of tumors in the lymph glands, I bind your power, break your dominion, cause you to dry up and wither. I curse you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Speak life into that physical body, and I curse those tumors in the name of Jesus. And I command that spirit that caused it to come out of that physical body and to loose that body in Jesus' name. I speak restoration into that physical body in the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, I thank you for it. I praise you for it in Jesus' name. Now, the area of prostrate and female trouble. Let me read to you over in Leviticus chapter 15. In an area that we have found that I need to tell you about here, and then we will pray for that problem. Leviticus chapter 15 and verse 19 says, if a woman have an issue and her issue in her flesh be blood, what are we talking about? Monthly woman's period. She shall be put apart 7 days, and whosoever toucheth her shall be unclean until the even. Now, it doesn't mean you're not supposed to literally lay your hand on her. It's talking about have sexual relations during this 7-day period of the woman's time of her period. The Lord says that you're not to have sexual relations with your wife during that period. Let's turn over to verse chapter 18 and verse 19. Also thou shalt not approach unto a woman to uncover her nakedness as long as she is put apart for her uncleanliness. What that's referring to there is having sexual relations with her during the time of her month or period. It says here, you shall not do it. Chapter 20 says, verse 18 says, and if a man shall lie with a woman, having her sickness or monthly time of her period, and shall uncover her nakedness, have sexual relations with her, he has discovered her fountain, and she hath uncovered the fountain of her blood, and both of them shall be cut off from among their people. Ezekiel chapter 18. And I'll tell you, all the body of Christ has done this in ignorance because nobody taught us. I'll tell you that almost everybody present has been guilty or is guilty unless they have heard somebody teach on this before. The Lord's got to stir up the ministry so these things are taught from the pulpit so that every child, as they grow up, knows what we're talking about. Ezekiel 18, starting down in the middle of verse 4, says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. But if a man be just, and do that which is lawful and right, then it says, and hath not eaten upon the mountains, neither hath lifted up his eyes to the idols. Now, eaten upon the mountains means that he's eat meat that's been served to idols. Or lifted up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, the idols that Israel brought in and worshipped instead of God. Neither hath defiled his neighbor's wife, adultery. Neither hath come near to a menstruous woman, time of her period. Then it goes on and says, and hath not oppressed any, but hath restored to the debtor his pledge, and hath not spoiled none but violence, or given bread to the hungry, and has covered the naked with a garment. He that hath not given forth upon usury, neither hath taken any increase, that hath withdrawn his hand from iniquity, hath executed true judgment between man and man, hath walked in my statutes, and hath kept my judgments to deal truly. He is just, he shall surely live, saith the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, I come against the sin that has been committed of having sexual relations with your mate, or if it's been with someone else, Lord, fornication, I ask that you forgive them. And I put the blood of Jesus to cleanse and to wash, Father, that this sin will be taken away from them. And I thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Now, Father, I come and take authority over the spirit of prostrate trouble and female problems that are the cause in some areas, sometimes is the cause because of this sin. I take authority over that problem of female problems and prostrate trouble, and I take dominion in the name of Jesus, and I bind the spirit that's behind it, and I break the curse of it over everyone present here tonight, and ask, Father, that they shall see the sin of it, and they'll repent of it, and not do it anymore. And I break that curse over them in Jesus' name, and I speak to this female problem and to the prostrate trouble that was caused because of this sin, and I break that curse, and I speak to this cause and to this problem in the name of Jesus. And I speak healing and restoration by the scars and stripes of the whipping post. And I command this area to be healed in Jesus' name. And I bind the spirit behind it to the day of judgment in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. I come against the spirit of leukemia, that foul spirit of leukemia. And I bind and break its dominion over anyone present, or anyone in the family that has leukemia. I break that curse in the name of Jesus. And I speak restoration by the blood of Calvary and by the blood of the whipping post and the scars and stripes of the whipping post. I speak restoration in Jesus' name. And I bind that foul spirit of leukemia, and I speak to that blood condition, and I speak to the blood to restore itself, become normal, and I bind that spirit in the bloodstream in Jesus' name. I thank you for it, Father. I praise you for it. Now, one more area, and then maybe there's something that somebody may have had, but arthritis. Now, again, arthritis, not always, but we find that a lot of the cause of arthritis is because of unforgiveness. One of the causes, and one of the basic causes of arthritis, is unforgiveness, or a grudge that somebody holds against somebody. And when they forgive them and release that grudge, arthritis will disappear, and they ask the Lord to forgive them. So, Father, if there be anybody here who holds unforgiveness or a grudge against somebody in their family, against somebody that they've worked with, somebody that they've been associated with, they hold a grudge against them, unforgiveness against them, Father, I ask that they will forgive that person and be relieved of this problem. I thank you for it, Father. Father, I ask that they repent from their heart, that they may be set free from the spirit of arthritis. Father, I take authority over the spirit of arthritis, and if it be from some other cause, Father, they need to be repentance part. Ask that you reveal it to them. Now I take authority over the spirit of arthritis. I bind it and I break its dominion over everyone present here tonight. Different forms of arthritis, I bind you and I break your power. I bind the spirit of arthritis, command it to lose its hold, to set the person free and to come out of them in Jesus' name. Father, I command the body to carry the poison out through the bloodstream, to carry the poison out from the joints and from the different areas of the body. I command the bloodstream to carry the poison out and through the kidneys, and that this body shall restore itself in Jesus' name. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Now, is there anything that somebody feels I should pray for that we haven't covered? We have, that is quite a study also. We have an article that we've written on lupus. Connected with St. Valentine's Day, which is an abomination to God. That's a whole study on lupus and Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day is an abomination to God. The heart, and there's a whole study that we could give on the days that we hold dear that are areas that are absolute abomination to God. But Valentine's Day is one of them, and the word lupus is associated with Valentine and also with wolf. And Irma has done quite an extensive study on it. And Valentine, the heart, represents a female sex organ, and the heart and the arrow represents the male. And you go back and study it, and you'll find it in your encyclopedia. Tell you all about it in your encyclopedia. Isn't something that's hidden. All of these things, you can, if you search, you'll find them in your everyday encyclopedias or history books. It's all there. And it's all covered up, and Satan's got it all hid away and turned it around so it's nice. And we have St. Valentine's Day, and we have Valentine's Day banquets. And I've been party to them and helped sponsor them. But God forgive me. God forgive me. I was Sunday school superintendent for 9 years at a church that became a very large church. And when we got involved in deliverance, I was relieved of my position and told that it'd be better off if we went someplace else to church. But I helped have some of the biggest Halloween parties that you could ever put on, with all the ghosts and goblins. And all I was doing was bringing demons to our Sunday school children. But I was ignorant. And the pastor and still all across the country, the denominational churches do the same thing yet today. And you try to tell them about it, and they think you're a fanatic. Well, bless God for a few fanatics. I guess I'm one of them. Amen. Well, lupus. Father, I come in the name of the Lord Jesus. I take authority over this foul spirit of lupus, and I bind it to the day of judgment, to ask for the angel of the Lord to take that spirit and keep it bound And I'd loose every person that has any of that in their ancestral line or for any reason it's associated or in their physical body. I bind that spirit to command it to loose them and set them free. And whatever the cause is behind it that gave them a right to that body, I take authority over that cause, put the blood of Jesus to wash and cleanse, and I break that power in Jesus' name, and I loose them from the spirit of lupus in Jesus' name. And I command the body to restore itself. Now, Father, I come in the name of the Lord Jesus and stand as a priest in behalf of those that hear me tonight or shall hear my voice on a tape. And I command every physical body to restore itself in the name of the Lord Jesus. I apply and I appropriate the healing virtue of the scars and stripes of the whipping post. And I command the body to restore itself and to become a whole in Jesus' name. By the authority that's invested, but by the written word, that it is written that Jesus bore our sickness and our sorrows, and he bore the curses. And I command that in the name of Jesus, Satan, you take your hands off God's people, and I command the body to restore itself and to become whole in Jesus' name. And I thank you for that authority that's given to us in the name of the Lord Jesus, that name that's above every name, that name to which my knee and every knee shall bow. To him we confess that he is Lord of lords and King of kings. To him be glory and honor and dominion forever and ever. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Linda, praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Linda, praise you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you for the knowledge that you've given unto us tonight. And that this knowledge be spread abroad, that men shall know that Jesus is the deliverer and the healer and the restorer, and it's only through him and by his blood and by Calvary, by the scars and stripes of the whipping post, but by the blood of the crown of thorns and by the blood of the Garden of Gethsemane, that we have the right to stand and take authority and dominion, for it is written that Jesus is Lord, and to him be glory forever and ever. Amen, amen, and amen. Let's stand and sing unto the Lord. Thank you for your presence that's been amongst us today. We thank you for your anointing. We thank you for the angels of the Lord that you've allowed to come and be present with us here. And I thank you and I praise you for it. Father, I thank you for a night's rest. Thank you for refreshing our bodies. Thank you, Lord, for peace. Thank you, Lord, to raise us tomorrow to praise and to worship thee. and to declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. There is none other. He alone is Lord. To Him be praise forever and ever. Amen. Amen.
For you who fear my name, the cry of righteousness will rise with healing in His wings. With healing in His wings. For you who fear, for you who fear my name, the cry of righteousness will rise with healing in His wings. With healing in His wings. And you will give the mouth for joy like Hamlet from the stone. And you will tread the wicked down that stairs the Lord of hosts. For you who fear my name.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.